have our seats. And let me pray once more, and I will invite John to the pulpit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this hour. Even as we hear from you through your servants, we pray that, Lord, you prepare our hearts that we may not only be the hearers of your word, but doers of your word. I pray and I commit your servant John into your hands. May you use him tonight mightily to the glory and honor of your name. May he know unction and anointing from you, O God. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for doing more than we can ask or imagine. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're welcome, John.
What a pile of books I've got. I hope you're sitting comfortably. We're going to be here until 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, That's right. Okay, well, it's good to be with you. And I think I've been here once before to a meeting, but it's quite a while ago. But it's a first time for me. I have never spoken at a meeting at this time of day ever before. 5 o'clock is due to the time when we're having a dinner at home, not preaching a sermon. But it's good to be with you. And we trust that God will stir us up. These days, I don't often preach. I am an elderly man. I reached my 90th birthday last October, and so I'm not doing as much as I used to. But when I speak, I usually want to be speaking about things that God is actually doing in my own life. Because I feel if God's been doing things in my own life and emphasizing things, there's a good chance that he'll be wanting to speak to other people about it. So that's what we shall be doing tonight. And I don't know how long I shall go on, but if you get fed up, feel free to go. I'm going to read from Scripture. Put that out of the way for the time being. And I'm actually reading, I'm reading this from New King James Version, and it's a large print Bible that was given as a 90th birthday present, not to me, but to a dear lady who Rosemary, my wife and I, established a very great friendship over many, many years. In Glasgow, in Scotland. And this was a Bible that was given to her 14 years ago at her 90th birthday. She's now gone to be with the Lord. But I'm sure she'd be very blessed if she knew that I was using it in a meeting in Sheffield. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians. And the last verse or two from chapter 4 into chapter 5, and then the first two verses of chapter 6. Now, it's a long reading, but it's good to read Scripture. If we don't hear a sermon, we've at least heard Scripture. And this particular bit of Scripture is a bit of a mixed bag, if you don't mind me saying so, because in it there are some gems of a gospel truth that most of us have learned over the years, but they are gems of real foundational Christian faith. But in amongst it, there's Paul's discussions with the Corinthians about his relationship with them. So it's a bit of a jumble, but We can't really separate the gems from the jumble, if you like. It wasn't jumble to Paul or the Corinthians, but it might be to us. But it's difficult to separate it all, so I shall have to read the whole thing. So we're going to start at verse 16 of chapter 4. Starts with a therefore, and that's because he's been speaking about something else. But then he goes on to say, therefore, we do not lose heart. Amen.
Amen.
I've just read a book by a guy who was writing in the 17th century during the time of the English Civil War. Not a good time. And it's called The Lifting Up of the Downcast, William Bridges. And in it, he's a series of sermons on reasons why we should never be discouraged and get disheartened. So I recommend it to you. It's a very challenging book, actually. His thesis is that we should never, ever have any excuse for getting discouraged. How about that? Anyhow, but I recommend it. William Bridge, A Lifting Up of the Downcast. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. I'll come back to that a little later on. Yet, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Remember that, it's day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's where Paul is telling us to be heavenly minded. For we know that if our earthly house, that is our body, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's our hope. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan. And some of us know a bit about groaning in this earthly tent. Being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, we make it our ambition, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We shall come back to that. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust that we are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearances and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Remember that. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We need to remember that. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Every Christian needs to know that one. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's a mighty truth, isn't it? The basis of our forgiveness. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God, we are pleading. God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's one of the great, great doctrinal statements about our salvation. But he's using it as motivation. For then, we as workers together with him also plead. Listen to how Paul is putting these things. He's imploring, he's beseeching, he's pleading. As a worker with God, he's coming from the heart of God. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Let me put it another way. Not to receive the grace of God and then not let it do in us what it's meant to do. For he says, and he's quoting Isaiah, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And this statement, we need to hear this, but now, today, now is the very favourable time. 14th of January, 2024, is a favourable time, a very favourable, very favourable time. Now is a very favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, very often, more often than not, when that bit of scripture is read, and where Paul is talking about being ambassadors, it's used to G up Christians to be evangelists. We're all to be ambassadors. Well, that's perfectly true. We have a responsibility to be witnesses. But Paul is not using that statement in this particular passage for that reason. And if that's all that we think it is, then we've missed the point. Because actually, we need to remember that he's actually speaking to Corinthian Christians. He is the ambassador. He's the apostolic ambassador. He's expressing the heart of God. He's expressing the heart of God for the church, for these believing people in Corinth. And he's expressing the heart of God, saying to them that the heart of God is that he wants you to be reconciled to him. He wants you to be actually living in a reconciled relationship with him. And to be known all in an increasing way, that the grace that has poured that out on us is meant to produce in us. That's the emphasis here. Paul is expressing the heart of God for the ongoing lives of God's people. So we need to remember that. We're going to come back to that. And it's such an important statement. Let's go back to the first two verses that we read in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, as a 90-year-old, I know a bit about the outward man deteriorating. I am not the man I was. We are actually inevitably growing older, and as we grow older, we begin to deteriorate. We can't do the things that we used to do, and we don't look quite the same. If you look at photograph albums of, we do, when we look at the old photograph albums and look at ourselves when we were young, we're a bit different now, and that can be a bit discouraging. Is that what I used to be like? And I look at the mirror now, and well, who is this old guy looking at me through the mirror? It's interesting to put the length of time that we've been in this world, not in years, but in days. I've been around, in the outward man anyhow, for 90 years and a bit. That in days, listen to this, is 32,925. That's a few days, isn't it? Why? I've been around for 32,925 days. And in all those days, something has been happening in my body, and especially as it got over 30. There's been a gradual deterioration. I've done my best to keep myself fit. I have an exercise bike, even at my age. I have weights to lift. I try to keep myself fit. I have a few additions to my body that are a help. I've got a pacemaker. I've got new knees. I've got a hearing aid. I've got some teeth. But in spite of all that we can do, and there's a massive industry trying to keep people young, get rid of the wrinkles. But the inevitable is that the outward man is perishing. And that can be a discouragement. I remember Billy Graham has written a book about growing old. And one of the statements that he makes in it is that growing old is not for sissies. Well, he had something that would be a challenge to most of us. He had Parkinson's disease, and that was not a happy thing to have to live with. But the old body that is not improving as it gets older. But then Paul says we are not discouraged, even though that actually is happening. Now, why is he not discouraged, or declares that that's not the reason why we should be discouraged? He goes on to say, but the inward man is being renewed. And he says it's being renewed day by day. You see, we're not just outward man, we're not just bodies, we've got souls and spirits. And if we're born again of the Spirit of God, if we are these new creations in Christ Jesus, we have eternal life, and that eternal life in us is meant not to deteriorate as we get older. It's meant to be renewed, and to be renewed, and to be renewed, renewed day by day. And we need to remember that. I've been a new creation in Christ Jesus for how long? I think I've been a new creation in Christ Jesus for, let's see, I made a note of it somewhere. Or I did make a note of it. I think it's 23,800 days. That's how long I've been a new creation, in 23,800 days. That's a long time. And the Apostle Paul is saying here that the inward man, the new creation, soul and spirit in Christ, is not meant to deteriorate. It's meant to be renewed, to be renewed. It's meant to grow, it's meant to change, it's meant to expand. It's meant to develop. It's meant to become more beautiful and more Christ-like. We have been predestined, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:29. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what's meant to be happening day by day in the inner man. Day by day. Our salvation is always, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of God's favour. Now the Apostle Paul is actually saying at the end, at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 6, now is a time when we must never ever be receiving the grace of God and leaving it at that. Now is the time when that grace of God that we have received is not just a foundational experience, but it's meant to develop. And it's meant to develop day by day. That being the case, how long have you been a Christian? How long have you been alive in Christ? How many days? I wonder how many days that you've been alive in Christ you have actually been being renewed. And God's been challenging me about that. I mean, I've lived a long time. I'm not the man I was all those years ago when I first became a Christian. I can be thankful that some changes have taken place. But the issue that God has been dealing with me about is to do with the level of intent and purpose that's been in my life over those years, so that the grace that was in me has actually been renewed in the way that God wants it to be renewed. See, the problem with us is that we become far too complacent about the level at which we're living in Christ. And we're not developing this reconciliation relationship that we have with the Father. We're not growing in the grace of our knowledge and the knowledge of in our experience of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how we can. I've been in ministry for 65 years. And over those years, we can be in ministry, going about the Lord's work. And it's amazing how easy it is not to be developing the inward man in the process. Not to be actually growing in the grace that we're preaching in. And I've discovered that, and God has been dealing with me. I remember walking into the Rock Center a few months ago, and I was feeling old and not feeling too good about myself, and feeling a bit grumpy, a bit groany. And as I walked through the door, I go to the meeting early to go to the prayer meeting. I thought, here's me going into a prayer meeting and look at the state I'm in. But as I walked through the door, I believe it was definitely the Holy Spirit who spoke to me, not in audible words, but it was a moving of the Spirit to read Joshua chapter 13 verses 1 and 2. And that was a kick in the backside spiritually for me, because the word there is very interesting. The statement, first of all, is, now Joshua was old and very advanced in years. and I was nearly 90. So I was old and very advanced in years and feeling a bit the result of that. But then God speaks to him and says, all right, Joshua, you are old and very advanced in years. But he doesn't end there. He says, yet there is still much land to be possessed. Amen. Much spiritual ground to be possessed. And that was a real challenge to me. And God was speaking to me in a way that he was not leaving me content with the level that I was at. Certainly I wasn't at a good level at that point. But he was reminding me that there is never a time when we are not meant to be being renewed and growing. There is still ground to be possessed. Reaching out and possessing that for which we've been possessed for, with Philippians 3 tells us that. And it's a challenge that we need to hear, because we so easily get settled down in the level that we're at, and coming to the meetings on a Sunday and listening to preaching, but never ever really getting stuck in and making an effort over this whole issue. God wants me to move on in my relationship with him. He wants me to develop my relationship with him. We have been in all that he has done for us, reconciled to him. He wants us to be living in that reconciled relationship of love and joy. He wants us to be developing that intimate personal relationship with himself. See, the new covenant declares that each one shall know me from the least to the greatest, and I'll remember their sins no more. On the basis of our sins being remembered no more, because God has dealt with them in a wonderful way, God wants us to know him in the Lord Jesus Christ, to get to grow in the grace and knowledge. And it's a developing thing. There's so much to understand and know about the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will seek me and find me, Isaiah. No, it's Jeremiah, isn't it? Jeremiah 29. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. So in all the years that you've been a Christian, how much seeking of that have we been doing? How is our relationship of reconciliation with the Father? Do we know him better? The guy that I meet with from time to time, we went to have a meeting in his house one day. As soon as we walked in the door, the first word he said, do you know Jesus better than last time we met? And I wasn't sure how I could honestly respond to that. Do you know Jesus better tonight than you did last Sunday? Have you grown? Have you developed? We're meant to be renewed when? Now, day by day. Every day is a now for growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Quite often now I watch and listen to the services from the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. And that's a mighty church. Up to 2,000 people are going there. But on this occasion, there was a guy preaching, and he was being very merciless in speaking to the believers in the congregation about their relationship with the Lord Jesus and whether they were actually growing. And about halfway through his message, he was, it's a big platform they have there, and he was marching up and down and having a real go. It was in the spirit. He stopped and he looked out at the congregation, and he identified, not personally, but he identified quite a number of elderly or older people. And he spoke particularly to these older people. And this is what he said. He said, if it was possible for your inner being to be revealed, you are elderly people now, or you're in your 50s, 60s, or whatever, if it was possible for you to be spiritually exposed, would you be still wearing diapers? Would you be still wearing nappies? And that was another kick in the pants for me. I've been a Christian a long time. Am I still wearing nappies in some areas of my life where I've never really grown up in my relationship with the Lord? So, God has been challenging me. I've been chastened, I've been spoken to, and it's coming out of the love of God, because he wants us to enjoy all the benefits of our salvation. It's no blessing to him if we're not growing in that which cost him so much to enable us to grow into, is it? And that's the motivation. The love of Christ compels me to say these things, Paul says. I'm an ambassador, pleading, imploring, beseeching you. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. God wants you reconciled to himself and to be living in the fullness of that reconciliation. And there's another reason, and this is serious business. There's another reason why we should be doing that. So just look at this particular verse. He says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present, in this present body, or absent, we make it our ambition, our primary ambition in life, to be well pleasing to him in our lives, in how we respond to his grace. Why? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not the judgment where we could lose our salvation. This is the judgment of Christ, where our lives are brought before us as God has seen it, and there's a reason for it. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, good or bad. You see, we don't often think about this, and it's not often preached about, but there is such a thing as an eternal reward. There are degrees of reward that will be eternal, and once we leave this world, we shall not be able to do anything about it. It will all be settled. But there are degrees of reward. And those degrees depend on how we have, if you like, performed in our seeking of the Lord, in our receiving of his grace, and our moving on and being transformed and being renewed. And we need to remember that. There's a verse in 2 John, that speaks about that, where the Apostle John says that we are to be careful that we do not lose our full reward. Let me just give you a quote. Anybody heard of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones? Well, this is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was going to be with the Lord. So he knows all about this now. Bless him. I imagine, he says, that there will be nothing more humbling in the day of judgment when we see the Lord face to face than to realize what had been possible for us in this life, to realize that we never concerned ourselves about it, but simply skimmed over the great truths without delving into them, and trying to discover what they meant and in what ways to apply them. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? That's a reason why it's so important that we take these things seriously. And God has been speaking to me about it, and thankfully I've had enough sense to respond, and I've been using some scripture on a regular basis, Psalm 139, the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any objectionable way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's been a prayer. And the apostle in 2 Corinthians 13 has been a challenge to me as well in this, where he says to the Corinthians, he says, test yourselves, examine yourselves. Are you actually in the faith? Or do you actually, or are you living as those who actually realize that Christ is in you and you're supposed to be actually growing in him? Test yourself, examine yourself. And self-examination on these issues is important. It's very important. And I want to challenge you about that. I want to challenge you. In Psalm 86, I think it's verse 11, the psalmist, I think it's David, who says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I might fear you. Then I will praise you with my whole heart. And I've been using those things, and bit by bit they're having some effect. But if we pursue things at that level, we must be prepared for some shocks. Because it's very humbling to have some things exposed when God began, well, with me, began to show me great gaps in my many, many thousands of days where I have been wholly inconsistent over great lengths of time in pursuing the very things that I'm talking about tonight. I was reading somewhere, I can't remember where it was now, I was reading about an Irish evangelist, Tom Hayri, I think that's how he pronounced his name. We're talking about, he was a very, very, in those days, quite a famous evangelist. Nobody's ever heard of him, but in the 1850s, he had a great ministry. He was actually, by trade, a plumber, but God was using him mightily as evangelist, and he'd been doing some work in Chicago. And just before he left to go back to Ireland, D.L. Moody, who was the great American evangelist, ministering in his own church in Chicago, actually met him. And when he met him, he said, well, you're going home now, Tom. I expect you'll be going back, and you've got lots of appointments to see to. Well, he got a very interesting reply from this evangelist. No, he said, the Irish evangelist, I intend to cancel all appointments for the next 6 months and spend the time preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, whilst I have the time. And I'm taking that on board, whilst I have the time. At 90 years old, time is not on my side. And I'm so thankful that God is stirring me up to redress things in my own life over seeking him and causing me to want to be all that is possible in Christ Jesus for a man of my age, or any age for that matter. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, train yourself in godliness. And then he says, well, physical exercise can do some good, but exercising godliness is fruitful for life now and definitely in eternity. Train yourself in godliness. Put your backs into your Christian life. And I want to end by emphasizing where this is coming from. Because the Apostle Paul is speaking out of the heart of God. I want you to hear the heartbeat of a Savior who died on the cross. Your sins were laid upon him, that you might be the righteousness of God in him, that you might have a reconciled relationship with the eternal God, that you might have a glorious hope of eternal life. And God in his heart is longing for us to put our backs into laying hold of all that we've been laid hold of for. It cost him so much for us to grow up in him and to be like him and to be growing in the grace and knowledge of all that he has done for us. I want you to take that on board. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we are lackadaisical about our inward man being renewed. I beseech you, I implore you, don't receive this grace to no purpose. Don't just leave it and hope for the best. Don't be content with where you're at. There is so much more, so much of the grace of God to be received in its extent. We are meant ultimately to be filled with the fullness of God. So would you hear that? I want to give you a challenge. And the challenge would be, in order to train yourself in godliness, I'm going to challenge you to open your Bible every day for a month at some point, perhaps best first thing in the morning, and read the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians. There are two parts of that chapter. One is statements about the things that I've been talking about, and the other is a prayer. In the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, we have 9 statements about this grace that we are meant to be laying hold of and growing in. And these are issues for us to be meditating on, looking to the Lord and asking him, Lord, I want to be in the good of this, because if I'm in the good of it, then you'll be glorified. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Westminster Confession. There are 9 statements in the first chapter of the Ephesians. It begins with a general statement by saying that we have, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's the first one. Every spiritual blessing, that grace of God is massive in its content for us to be developing and growing in. And then he goes on to define another eight. He says, you were chosen in Christ. Chosen to be before him, before the foundation of the world, to be before him, holy and blameless in his sight. To be experiencing that confidence in the presence of God, in the cleansed relationship with the blood of Christ cleansing us from all sin. Second, you have been predestined to be adopted as his sons. What a privilege to be adopted, to be have all the rights of a son of God in Christ, sharing the sonship of Christ and his relationship with the Father. That's something to think about, isn't it, and to get into the good of. You have been accepted in the beloved of God. God is receiving you and loving you and relating to you in the way that he does to his own beloved son. You're accepted in the beloved. You're redeemed. The price has been paid for all of this. You've been forgiven. All your sins have been forgiven. You have every right to all these things because you're a forgiven person if you're born again of the Spirit. And you've been made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. All that Jesus has inherited as the eternal Son of God and the man Christ Jesus, all in eternity that will be his inheritance, we will share it. And we have been given, number seven, we have been given the Holy Spirit as a seal. He's in us as a seal, guaranteeing. And he's in us as a deposit of what life will be like when we're in our resurrection glory. All that is there. This is the grace of God. Do not receive it in vain. It's all there to be meditated upon, to be reached out to God and to and for to be in the good of it. I challenge you to have a month . How many days in a month? 30. Every day for a month. So look at that and say, Lord, I want to be trained in godliness. I want to be in the good of this. And then use the prayer. The second half, Paul prays, a wonderful prayer about what is available to us in order to aid us in the process. It's a beautiful, wonderful prayer that we ought to learn off by heart. And then finally, just go to the end of Ephesians 3, where in verse 20 to the end of the chapter, we have another wonderful prayer. Let me give you that prayer. According to the riches of his glory, Paul prays, out from that magnificent place of the riches of God's glory, I pray that you will be strengthened with all might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Pray it. Lord, I want to be in the good of that. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Lord, I want that kind of faith that gives me that knowledge of Jesus that is real and precious. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you'll be rooted and grounded in his love, a love the length and breadth and depth and height, the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. I want to be in the good of that, Lord. Paul prayed it. I want to pray it. It's there available that we might be filled with the fullness of God. How about that? We're meant to pray these things. We're not going to be in the good of them immediately. This is a lifetime. This is a day-by-day growing in the expansive grasp of these things. So there's a challenge. And I'm finished. You'll be glad. Hallelujah. So there it is. So I implore you, as an ambassador of Christ, expressing the heart of God, and as somebody who is experiencing the very thing that I'm preaching about, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Now, this very day, is the day of salvation. It's a very, very favourable time for us. And it's a favourable time every day to grow in our experience of these things.
Amen.
Amen. Are we going to sing a hymn?
Yes, we have a closing hymn.
And when we've sung this hymn, it's a Charles Wesley hymn.